Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will continue 3 lines from the top of Daf Ches. You'll notice a double underline under Rav Ado Bar Ahava. This double underline is a continuation of the marking that we started at the end of our previous shiur, where we feature Rav Ado Bar Ava as having mention of a case of a person who is poor, and he has 5 sloyim to his name, and he made a dedication of his erech. And Rashi explained that we're talking about someone who's 20 years old, a male, 20 years old, whose erech, as the Torah establishes it, is 50 shekel. All this man has is 5 shekel to his name. Of course, in our previous shiur, we elaborated on the details. With regard to today's Gemara, we continue from where we left off. Boy, Rav Ado Bar Ava, hoyu biyodo chomesh sloyim. This poor individual had 5 sela. The Omar shnei erki olai bevasachas mahu. He said this expression, said he wants to give 2 times his erech, and he said it in one shot. In other words, not one after the other, as we had in the previous examples. What is the din in this case? So you'll notice that we have an aleph, and a few lines later, beis, with preceded by oy dilma, 2 sides of analyzing this question. Kevon de bevas achas nodar, ki hadodi tofson. Since he made his vow, his erech vow, simultaneously, the 2 erechs were stated simultaneously, so they become equal. The 5 sela that he has, these 5 coins that he has, become bound to both of the vowels equally at the same time. Therefore, yohi v'tarti upalgalahai, 2.5 will go toward one vow, and 2.5 toward the other. And with that, he has fulfilled his obligation, and no more debt will continue. The reason that is that he has given over everything that he has to the erech vow that he made, leaving no outstanding debt on his part. In other words, leaving no outstanding funds on his part. Oy dilma kulhu chazio lahai v'kulhu chazio lahai. Or do we say that all 5 are bound to each vow respectively? And if that be the case, if you say that all of the 5 coins that he has are bound to only one of the vows, we can't identify which one because they were stated simultaneously. But one of them would remain unpaid, and that would be an outstanding debt. And the practical nafkamina of that is that if he comes into the money in the future, if he becomes an oshir, for example, in the future, he will be obligated to pay all 50, the full 50 sela that is warranted to be paid by oshir, whose stated erki olai, and he happens to be a 20-year-old male. So this analysis, how to look at the case, either like Aleph or like Beis, the Gemara continues and says, Teku remains unresolved. Ein berichin pochos misela v'lo yeser v'chule. The Mishnah had continued with this statement that there isn't less than a sela in erichin, nor more than 50. ha su lamali. What do I need this line for? This was already learned earlier. Answer, ha komash malon. This line is telling us the following. Pochos misela hu deleka. Less than a selah, there is not. In other words, in the realm of Erechin, even someone who can't afford anything, he'll have to give a minimum of a selah. But we can infer from that, ha yeser al selah ika. However, to be expected to give more than a selah, that exists as a possibility. Likewise, yeser al chamishim hu daleka. More than 50, there is not. There isn't any erech payment more than 50. Ha pochos me chamishim ika. Where we can infer from this, from the statement of the Mishnah, that there isn't more than 50, but less than 50, there is. Ustamo karabonon. We have an unnamed section of Mishnah, which is understood to be authoritative. By virtue of the fact that it's stam, it gives it greater strength on a legal basis. So we have a stam section of Mishnah that conforms to the Rabbonon Shita, the Rabbonon approach, as opposed to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had said that when you're dealing with an oni, for example, it's either one sela or 50. Even if he has a few more coins, if he's an oni, he pays only one sela, because the Torah made a reference to a shekel. Shekel in the Torah is the same as a sela. And the Rabbanan learned that differently. So here, since you see that it's not, the poor man isn't limited to the one shekel payment, but he could end up paying more, that is within lines of the Rabbanan Shita and not Rebbe Meir. We continue with a new Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with the realm of a woman and the female cycle, that's sometimes known as the menstrual cycle. And this topic will be explained very, very clearly in the Rashi. So here in Gemara Markings, we highly recommend it. After listening to our shiur, one goes over the Gemara and tries to learn it with the Rashi. In this case, and with regard to the upcoming Dapim as well, certainly through Daf Yud, you'll find the Rashi essential. We are somewhat limited within the realm of our recorded Gemara marking shir in how much detail we can get into. But on the side of our Gemara, under the Nosei heading, we have written the following. Pesach Nida. Now that expression refers to the following. Isho shiroa sodam hayom. A woman who had a blood sighting. We're talking about, once again, the female cycle. V'eino yodas im bimei nida oiziva. And she doesn't know whether she is in the midst of her nida days or her ziva days. These terms we will try to explain a little bit more when we eventually look in the Rashi. We're learning this right now as a headline. Ma takanoso kedei shehi teida mosai shuv taschil yemei nidosa. What can she do in order to realign herself and know that she is once again back in her yemei nida period? So, before we actually learn the Rashi, we'll try to say a couple of points orally. And that is, first of all, we're talking in our sugya on a Torah level, on a d'oraisa level, and what we say in our shir today will have no actual bearing on practical halacha. That cannot be emphasized enough. We're dealing with a very severe area of halacha, which carries a potential kores penalty with it if one doesn't behave accordingly. So we're just saying, as a disclaimer, we're dealing right in our sugya today with a doraisa standard, where which doesn't quite resemble the practical halacha, which has many more details built into it. That having been said, the Nida cycle from the Torah represents a blood sighting upon which a woman will become Tameah, ritually impure, for a period of 7 days. That means a blood sighting during the Nida time period. We'll define that a little more accurately later, but during the Nida time period, she becomes Tameah for 7 days, regardless of how many days she sees Dam. As long as there is a Dam, a blood sighting, during the Nida period, she becomes Tameah for 7 days. The blood sighting could be for 1 day, and it could be for almost all 7 days of sighting. At the end of those 7 days, she goes to a mikveh, and immerses herself and becomes tahora. If after that, if on the 8th day, namely after this 7 Nida day period, if on the 8th day she has a blood sighting, the Torah expects her to, in order to achieve purity, she's Tameah that day, 1 day alone, and the next day she is forbidden to be with her husband, and she is considered Tameah, known as a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She'll have other restrictions with regard to the consuming of foods that must be maintained in ritual purity, like korbonos and truma tithes. So she is expected to make sure to keep or to observe that the next day she has no blood sighting. That's called a Yom Naki. And what we just described is the beginning of the Ziva period, an 11-day period that follows the 7-day Nida period that we already described. This 11-day Ziva period states that a blood sighting that takes place on either 1 or 2 consecutive days makes her Tameah, but not for an extended period of time. She's Tameah those 1 or 2 days, plus the next day she has to make sure she has no blood sighting. She's called Shomeres Yoim Keneged Yoim, that for the day of Tumah, she keeps 1 day of Tara. She makes sure that she has no blood sighting, and she immerses herself in the mikveh and becomes Tahora. If, however, during that 11-day period that we called the Yemei Ziva, those 11 days that come on the heels of the 7-day Nida period, if she has a sighting of 3 days during that 11-day period, she will then become a Zava Gedola, and that means she will not become Tahora until she observes 7 consecutive days of non-blood, no dam sighting. Those are called Shiva Nikiyim. After which, she becomes Tahora. Now, we spoke about 11 days. In theory, if she had a sighting of 3 consecutive days starting from day 1 of that 11-day period, so you have day 1, 2, and 3 of that 11-day period, making her a Zava Gedola, she would then observe 7 consecutive days of non-blood sighting, if she's successful in keeping Shiva Nikiyim. She finds herself then at day 10. The next day, she is still considered in her Ziva period. When that day passes, any new sighting of Dam after that 11th day, any new sighting Dam after the 11th day, she will become a Nida. The Nida period starts again. So that we described so far a 7-11 cycle. The when we begin observing dam on the part of a woman, so the first sighting, she would become a nida, and that would make her tamea for 7 days. But when we speak about the nida 7 days, we don't speak about any need for nikiyim. We're interested primarily in the passage of the days. No need to observe a day of a bloodless day. We're interested simply that she continues, that she maintains a tuma status for 7 days, whether she saw dam 1 day, 2 days, or even all 7 days. After that 7 day nida period, she lapses into an 11 day ziva period. And we explained already what that entails. When those 11 days pass, any new dam sighting, she then becomes a nida again. And the cycle repeats itself, as we explained. It may be said that according to the way we learn this sukya of Lefi Rashi, the ziva period does not set in until a nida period is observed. Our Mishnah will be featuring a case of a woman who has a sighting of blood, but she doesn't know where she is holding. She doesn't know if she's in a nida period or a ziva period. We already explained that there are fundamental differences between how to treat a blood sighting during a nida period versus a ziva period. During the nida period, we said midoraisa, there's no need for observing a clean day, a non-blood day. However, it creates an automatic period of 7 impure days. In the case of the ziva situation, if it's a sighting that she has during her ziva days, then if it's 1 or 2, she's expected to keep 1 day of non-blood, of one nikia day. And if she has 3 sightings of blood, 3 consecutive days of blood sighting during the ziva period, she then becomes a zava gadola. She has to bring a sacrifice, a korban, at the end of the 7 clean days that she must observe. Let us now learn the Mishnah, and along with the Mishnah, we will learn the Rashi, who has a truly magnificent pedagogical presentation of this particular sugya. The Mishnah, it in and of itself is quite vague, but it says, Ein Pesach betoye pochois mishiva velo yeser al shiva asar. Pesach would mean the ability to restart her cycle, restart with knowledge. There is no situation that will in which she'll be able to restart her cycle if she doesn't know when she had when the sighting that she had occurred. She doesn't know. When we say she doesn't know, she knows that she had one. She just doesn't know in which period, in which time period she is experiencing it, whether she's in her midst of her nida days or her ziva days. So in order to get out of it, she has to observe nikiyim days. So there isn't less than 7, nor more than the need of keeping 17 noki days in order for her to get back into the cycle and know where she is holding. Let us now learn the Rashi on the Mishnah. The Rashi, Pesach, Tchilas Nidus, the beginning of the Nida period, Shezeh Din Nida Doraisa. The Rashi now presents what Nida Doraisa is. Ruaso Hayoim, a woman who knows that she is starting a Nida period, if she sees today, Moines Shishavahu, she keeps 6 additional days and the original day of blood sighting. Ruaso Shnayim, if she saw 2 days, then Moina Chamisha Vehain, she keeps an additional 5 days in addition to the 2 days that she had a sighting. Vafilu Ruasa Kol Shiva Upaskala Erev, even if she saw blood for 7 days and stopped seeing toward the evening, then in the late afternoon, toiveles u mishameshes. She immerses herself in the mikveh and she can have relations with her husband upon the completion of those 7 days. As long as there was a moment during which there was no flow of dam, that's enough. As long as that moment was before sundown of the seventh day, she then goes to the mikveh and is mishameshes, can have relations, and is no longer forbidden to her husband. Umiyom shvi'i ve'elech, beyond that seventh day, havyon yemei ziva, she then enters a ziva period, achad osor yom, it's an 11-day period, she'im ro'asa bohen, yoim echad oishnaim, if she has a sighting of dam, 1 or 2 days, shemeris yoim keneged, yoim v'toyveles, she must observe 1 more day of no sighting, immerses herself, and becomes tahora. V'im ro'asa bohen shloisha ritzufin, if during those 11 days she sees 3 consecutive days of blood, zova gemura, she becomes classified, havio zova gemura, she's classified as a complete zova, complete as opposed to the need for keeping just one day. Here she's a zova gemura, utuna, sfira, zayin, nikim, v'korban, she has to then observe 7 consecutive days of no sighting, and then brings a sacrifice. V'im moshu yemei zova choydesh oishana, if she happens to continue seeing blood for a month or even for a year, eino choyzeres l'tchilas nidus ad sheteshev shiva nekiyim. The nida cycle doesn't restart until she observes 7 consecutive days of no sighting. Yoshva shiva nekiyim, if she... After she then observed the 7 clean days, v'ro'aso, and then has a blood sighting, havio tchilas nida, that represents the beginning of a new nida cycle. Umoina shisha v'hu, she counts 6 additional days, and that 1 day that she saw, choseres le'inyono k'chol ha'mefurish l'mala, and the cycle is restarted as we explained above. If during the 11 days of Ziva, the Ziva days, she does not have a 3 consecutive day sighting of blood, eino zava, she is not a zava. Ukshetira achrei kein, and when she sees after those 11 days, bein rasa somuch, bein shehirchika riyasa, whether the next sighting is immediately after those 11 days or a long time after those 11 days, havio tchilas nida, she begins the nida cycle again. That's the restart. The afilu tire shloisha ritzufin, and even if she sees 3 consecutive days at this point, eino moina ela arbo vehein, all she does is she counts an additional 4 days, and plus the 3 days that she saw, she'ein yemei zov ela ba'oisan yud aleph yom, she'bein sof nido zeh l'tchilas nido habo. The 11-day ziva period doesn't come about until she finishes the 7 nido days, and as Rashi says now, that the 11-day period is between the completion of 1 nida period and the start of a next nida period. But so that it doesn't, the 11-day situation doesn't exist in isolation. It exists only as the 11 days that follow the completion of a nida period. This piece of Rashi is explained by the Gemara itself in Maseches Nida toward the end of the Masechta on Daf Ayin Beis. Rashi continues with what we have just done in the Rashi. He presented the basic Nida Ziva period and how it operates. The next Rashi introduces the issue of our Mishnah, Ein Pesach B'Toya Pochos Mishiva. Toya Shirasa Dam, Shirasa Hayoim. Toa means a woman who is literally mistaken. In this case, she means she's confounded. She doesn't know where she is. she sees blood today. V'eino yodas im bimei nidosa oimedes im ba'oison achadas oyom shel ziva. She doesn't know whether she is seeing this during the a nida period, or she is in the midst of the 11 days that follow the nida period, known as the yemei ziva. So she doesn't know where she's holding. Ein chozeres lepesach nidusa. She doesn't go back. She doesn't have experience restart. B'pochos mishiva nikiyim. There isn't a situation where she'll get away with less than 7 clean days. V'lo yoser al yudzayin nikiyim k'dem mefarsh b'gemara. Nor will she ever be expected to observe more than 17 clean days. Because observation of 17 clean days will cover all possibilities, following which she would then be starting her her nida period. We now turn to the Gemara. Now, in a marked Gemara, you can see very clearly a highly structured Tanaic source, which begins here and continues to the third line from the top of Omid Ches Omid Beis. You'll notice that down the middle of the Gemara page there's underlining, starting with Yom Echad, underneath that Shnei Yomim, underneath that Shlosh Yomim. In fact, it continues, the examples that this source presents continue in that fashion from one day of blood sighting till, you'll see on the top of Ches Omid Beis, an example of 13 blood days and how she gets out of it. We can't emphasize enough the issue of 3 consecutive sightings. If it happens to be in a Ziva period, that means she must observe 7 clean days. Let us now start the examples. And we might as well mention that Rashi gives a very detailed explanation of how to understand the cases. You may notice, along with our Gemara markings, some number lines that will help on a visual level to appreciate these cases. So we start with the first case, Toya Sha'amra. Yoim echo tome roisi. She says, I've experienced one day of blood, namely today. She says, I saw Dom today, and I don't know where I'm holding. Pischa shiva osar. In order for her to know in a definitive way that she is going to be beginning a nida period, she'll have to wait 17 clean days in addition to today. What will that give us? So we have to take into consideration, in all of these cases, we'll call it the worst case scenario. It may very well be that the one day that she is experiencing just so happens to be the first day of a nida cycle. If that would be the case, what would that necessitate? Well, if today is the first day of a nida period, till her next nida period, she'll have to wait 17 days. But not only that, there'll have to be 17 clean days without any sighting. Now, why is that? Well, the first day that she comes might be the first day of a nida cycle. Well, that in and of itself means that you have today is day one plus another 6 days, those adding up to 7 days, just to finish the nida days. It is true that if she knew they were nida days, then the need for clean days wouldn't take hold because of what we explained earlier about the nida period. But once again, she doesn't know what it is. So to play it safe, so she has to observe today plus the next 6 days. The next 6 days would have to be clean days, after which she knows for sure, she would know then she completed, according to the what we call the worst case scenario, she's now finished her nidah days, and then day 8, from day 8 plus, or from day 8 till day 17, which would be a period of 11 days, also blood-free, at which point she knows that she has completed her 11 days of ziva. After that, she can say, I'm now beginning my nidah cycle. So that's a, we'll call it the longest period of clean days that would be necessary in this case of the unknown, bringing her to the beginning of a nidah period. See, of course, if the one day that she cited happens to be in the middle of her ziva period, so she wouldn't need to wait so long. But our problem is we don't know where she's holding. Therefore, we, as we said, we take the worst case scenario that the one day that she has is the furthest day possible from the next nidah period. And what's the furthest day possible from the next nidah period? That would be if the one day that she is seeing happens to be the first day of a current nidah period. Continuing in the Brisa, Shnei Yomim Tomei Roisi, if she says, I have been seeing Dam for the last 2 days, how does she get out of her problem? How does she restart her nidah cycle? So, Pischa Shiva Osar. She'll have to observe 17 clean days in order to get back to her nidah cycle. Now, when we say these, she saw 2 days, those 2 days may have been the it might have been the last day of a ziva period and the first day of a nidah period, or it may be 2 days from the beginning of a nidah period. Whichever way you as you look at this, once again, the worst case scenario would be that these 2 days, the first of the 2 days was the end of a ziva period, and today, the second day, is the beginning of a nidah period. So that would necessitate her observing 17 clean days. Why is that? Well, if the second of the 2 blood days was the first of a nidah period, so until she gets to her next nidah period, she'd have to observe 6 additional days from that second day of blood sighting, plus 11 days, which would constitute the ziva period, at which point she completes 17 clean days, after which she would then say that the next day is the beginning of the nidah period. Shloisha yamim tomei ro'isi, if she says, I saw 3 consecutive blood days, Pischa Shiva Osar. And why is that? Well, we would say, again, the worst case scenario, we would say that the first 2 of these 3 days were at the end of a ziva period. The third day would have been the beginning of a nidah period. Once again, she doesn't know for sure, but that's what we will take into consideration. And being that she's having 1 day during the beginning of a nidah period, she'll need 6 more days and an additional 11 days, all of which must be clean. After which she can say, now I know I'm definitely back into a nidah period. Arba o yomim tomei ro'isi. We're now going to see something new. If she says, I have seen 4 days of blood for tome days. That means 4 days of sighting. The source says pischa shisha asar. Notice it's one less. Now, why is that? So once again, we're going for the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario, in fact, is saying that of these 4 days, the first two were the last days of a ziva period, and the first two were of a nida period. So if the first two were of a nida period, in order to complete the nida days, well, 1 and 2 count toward 1 and 2, meaning the days, in this case days 3 and 4 of sighting, count as the first 2 days of the nida period. She needs now only 5 more days to complete the nida period. So those would be 5 clean days that we would like to see here. Because the reason for the clean days is that if there's no dam, so then we don't have to enter additional sfeikos as to what day it is. They're blood-free days. So it's 5 more blood-free days, which will complete the nida days. That's 5, plus an additional 11 to get through the ziva period. 5 and 11 is 16 days. The day following that, she would then restart her new nida cycle. Now, why did we say that that's the worst case scenario? Very simply, because if we were to take those 4 days and say that not 2 of the days were in the ziva period, but rather 3 of the days were in the ziva period, if we would know that, she would have been able to restart her nida cycle much earlier, because a 3-day blood sighting during a known 3-day blood sighting during a ziva period makes her into a zava gadola. That requires of her only 7 clean days, after which she would in fact begin a new nida period. The cases go on. Chamisha yomim tome ra'isi. If she says, I saw 5 days of blood, we then tell her that pischa chamisha asar. In order to restart her nida cycle, she'll have to observe 15 days that are blood-free days. And that is, how do we come to that? So the 5 sighted days, we would say the first 2 of those 5 were during a ziva period, and the last 3 of those 5 were actually the beginning of a nida period. So when you have the last 3 of those 5 as nida, she needs 4 more days to complete the nida days, and 4 plus 11 days to get through the ziva period. So that's 4 and 11, that's 15. And after that, she knows she's restarted a nida period, and she would then be able to start a nida cycle with certainty. Shisha yomim tome ro'isi. We're now adding a day of blood, and as you already got a sense of it, that will reduce the number of clean days that she will need to keep. So if she saw 5 days of blood, so pischa chamisha asar, shisha yomim tome ro'isi, pischa arbo'o asar, shiva yomim tome ro'isi. If she says, I saw 7 days of dam, pischa shloisha asar. Now, how do we get to that? So if we have 7 days, we would then take the first 2 days as being the end of a ziva period, 5 days being nida days. She needs 2 more days to complete the nida period, 2 plus 11 to get through the ziva period, that's 13. Shmoina yomim tome ro'isi pischa shneim osar. If she said she had 8 days, so to get back to a nida cycle, she would need to have 12 days of clean days. Tisha yomim tome ro'isi pischa achad asar. That Tisha case would be broken into the first two of the nine, would be the end of a Zifa period, and the last seven of those nine, those 7 days would in effect be Nida days, leaving a balance of 11 days to get through the Zivo period, and that's, we have 2 plus 11, just 11, let's correct ourselves. There was 2 plus 7, which got you through the Nida days, and then 11 days to get you through the Zivo. Asara Yomim Tomei Ra'isi, if she had 10 sighting days, so that would be broken down into the first two of the 10 would be the end of a Zivo period. That's the first two of the 10, leaving 8 days to account for. So 7 of those 8 days would be toward the Nida period. And the last of those days, which is in effect day 10 or day 8 of that, after we took off the first two, would leave you with 10 more days to get through the Zivo period, because the last of those 10 days would have been day 1 of a Zivo period. So, Pisho Asara. Achad Asar, if she had 11 sighted days, Pisho Tisha. The 11 is broken down by looking at the first two as being part of a Zivo period. The next 7, the Nida period. That's 2 and 7 is 9. The 2 more days to get you to 11 would be the beginning of a Zivo period. That's days 1 and 2 of a new Zivo period. In order to get through the entire Zivo period, we said it's an 11-day period. So she'd have to wait 9 more days. And that's what is said over here in Pischotisha, 9 clean days. We go to the top of Ches Amud Beis, Shneim Osar, if she has 12 days of sighting, Pischa Shmoina. And what that means is that the first two of those 12 would be part of the end of a Zivo period, 7 the Nida period, that's up to day 9 of those 12, and the next 3 days would be the first 3 days of a Zivo period. The Zivo period itself lasts 11 days. So we've accounted in this last example for the first three plus eight more clean days gets you to the end of that 11-day Zivo period. Shloisha Asar, if she had 13 days of sighting, Pischa Shiva. In this case, we come to the minimum number of clean days, and that's a result of seeing so many sighted days, 13 sighted days. So 13 sighted days basically says the first two we're going to assume were the end of a Zivo period, the next 7 part of a Nida period, that's 2 and 7 is 9, with a balance of 4 more days, 4 days which would come out at the beginning of a new Zivo period. In order to get to the end of the Zivo period, she has to get to day 11, so from 4 to 11, there were 7 clean days. Now, any increase in that, any more than 13, if it's 14, 15, etc., she'll inevitably become a Zava Gedola. And a Zava Gedola needs to have no less than 7 clean days. So, once you reach this number, 13 consecutive days of blood sighting, and the woman tells us she doesn't know where she's holding, she will have to observe 7 clean days, after which she can say she is for sure beginning a Nida cycle. She'ein Pesach betoya pochos mishiva velo yeser al shiva asar. The ability to reach restart, in the case of the Toya, the woman who doesn't know where she's holding and she has a sighting, is going to be no less than 7, and we just illustrated that, and there will be no need for keeping more than 17. And that case, the need for keeping 17, we saw in our 17 clean days, we saw in our first few examples of women who had only one or two or three sightings and doesn't know where she's holding. So in those cases, one, two, or three sighting days, she'll be expected to keep 17 clean days, after which she will be able to say with certainty, I'm now beginning a new nida cycle. And as we said before, all of this has a practical bearing on a doraisa level to know how to conduct herself after the clean period that we've described, knowing that she's starting the next sighting would be a nida sighting, which doesn't necessitate any clean days, it just necessitates a counting of days. Following those 7 days, she then would enter a ziva period. And if she has a sighting during those subsequent 11 days, she'll have to keep an additional day of cleanness. However, if she sees 3 consecutive days during that ziva period, she'll have to observe 7 clean days and bring a korban. Omar le Rav Ado bar Avo le Rabo. Rav Ado asks, Lomo li kule hai, why is there a need for so many clean days? Timni shiva v'tishteri, why is it not enough for her to simply count 7 days, 7 clean days, and she'll be muteris to her husband? Now, Rav Ado, in asking this question, thought that all of our previous discussion was how much time is needed in order to enable her to become allowed to her husband. If, in fact, that is all we were interested in, then, in fact, his question is true, that the observation of 7 consecutive clean days, this woman is, under all circumstances, would be muteris to her husband. Why then is there, why is there any need for more than 7 clean days, as we saw above in most of the examples? Omar Lay, so Rabo answers, you know why we were interested in those additional clean days? Liskuno lide nido upisho kwarminon. We're trying to get the woman back to restart. So we're not interested here only in her becoming allowed to her husband, but we're interested in the woman knowing where she is holding once and for all. And in order to get to that position, we have to, as we explained earlier, take into consideration all the worst case scenarios and factor that in, keep the necessary days of blood-free days, at after which we can now say, Miss, that you are now starting the nida cycle afresh. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that the Gemara will point out is not too clear, but it says, Kol hatois zavois mevios korban. The tos is a reference to all of the cases above. The woman who said she had a blood sighting from anywhere from 1 to 13 that we mentioned above, all of them are zavos, and they have to bring a sacrifice. V'eino nechal, and the sacrifice is not eaten. Chutz mipischo shiva upischo shmoina, with the exception of the cases where she had to observe only 7 or 8 clean days, which those examples of 7 clean days was a result of 13 days of sighting. The case of 8 clean days was where she had 12 days of sighting. In those cases, shemevios korban v'nechal. She not only brings a sacrifice, but it's also eaten, because it's a sacrifice brought with a sense of certainty, if it's a certainty that she's definitely a zava gedola in those cases. Looking at this brisa at face value, we ask the following. Otu kol hato zavos? Is it accurate to say that all toos become zavos? If the woman had 1 day of sighting, she doesn't become a zava. She had 2 days of sighting. Even if you knew for sure that she was in the ziva period, she wouldn't become a zava. Zava is a woman that must keep 7 Noki days, and following which she brings a korban, but a single or double day of double sighting, single day or 2 days of sighting, doesn't make her into a zava. So how can you tell me that all the above cases make her into a zava? Amongst those cases were one or two sighted days. The su, another question. Yoim echad ushne yom en bas esuye korban hi? If she had one or two sighted days, even if they were during the ziva period, would that make her obligate her to bring a sacrifice? And yet this source said all the toes are zavos and they all bring sacrifices. It's simply not true. A sacrifice cannot be spoken about until you have at least 3 days of sighting, and we also have to know that those 3 days of sighting were definitely part of a zava period. Elo, rather, the correct reading of that source is as follows. Kol zavois hatois mevios korban v'eino nechal. All cases of a zava, that would be 3 consecutive days of sighting during what might be a zava period. So she bring a sacrifice, but it might or might not be. She might or might not be a zava gedola. So she'll bring a korban, but it won't be eaten. Now, what do we mean? Give us an example of she might or might not be a zava gedola. Let us take, for example, she had 11 days of sighting. Well, we know that 7 of those must be nida days. Once again, we're taking into consideration the extreme possibility. Of the 11 days of sighting, even if you say, or if you say those, the first 7 were nida days, then, of course, she would be chayav to bring a korban, because the last 4 of the 7 would be ziva days. However, we're talking about a woman who doesn't know where she's holding. So we take we'll count the extreme case, and we'll tell you that the 11 sider, the first 2 were the end of a ziva period, the next 7 were nida, and so far no korban obligation, because blood sighting during Nida never necessitates a korban. 2 sighting days during a ziva period does not necessitate a korban. So we've accounted for 9. Now 2 more days, which would be the beginning of a new ziva period, also doesn't necessitate a korban. So we can give you a case of 11 sighted days and still no definitive korban. When do we reach a situation where there will be an inevitable or a definitive korban? That's with the example of 12 or 13 sighted days. Because if you take the 12 days of sighting, whichever way you slice it, you're going to have 3 consecutive ziva days. It goes without saying that if of those 12 days, the first 7 were nida days, then you're left with 5 ziva days. But even if you take from that 12-day period the first 2 days and call them ziva days, so you'd have 2 plus 7 for nida, with a balance of 3, which would be the beginning of a new ziva period, and 3 consecutive ziva days do necessitate a korban. So only when you reach the number 12, you enter a situation where you will have an inevitable ziva on your hands and zava gedola, and hence she'll have to bring a korban, and it will be eaten because it's a korban brought with certainty. So that's what this is telling us. We say that all the case of zavos hatos, all the potential zavos cases, which we had basically, you have many of the examples we had above get her into a potential of ziva day of a zava Basically, any example beyond two, between one or two blood sighting days, once you get to a case of three cited days, they may be 3 days in a Ziva period. So she'll have to bring a carbon, but once again, we don't know if those were 3 Ziva days. So any number from 3 till 11 inclusive, she's potentially a Zava, but not definitely a Zava. From we get to 12 sighted days and up, then she is a definite Zava. And that's what it says here. Chutz mi pischa shivo pischa shmoina. Pischa shivo is a reference to a woman who needs to keep 7 clean days. That's a function of her having seen 13 days of dam. Pischa shmoina is a result of the woman having seen 12 days of dam. Shemevios korban ve'ne'echal. She will bring a sacrifice, and it will be eaten, because whichever way you look at those cases, as we illustrated, she is definitely a Zava Gedola. And it goes without saying that when we speak about the need for bringing sacrifices and their eating, that's only when the sacrifice is brought as a function, as a result of certainty. The Mishnah. Ein binigoyim pochos mi shavua echad veloy yeser al shloishos shavuos. Rashi has a girsa, ein tohar binigoyim pochos mi shavua echad. In the realm of nigoyim, nigoyim is a function of discoloration. It might be a person's skin discoloration or hair discoloration. It might be, the Torah talks about clothing becoming discolored, and it also talks about houses experiencing a color change. That is the realm of negoyim, depending, of course, as to what type of color the change takes. In order to achieve a state of tahara when dealing with Negoyim, so there will be no less than 7 days from when the Nega appears, 7 days of what's called Hesker, of being with regard to a person locked away, or with regard to a house, that the house is closed, so to speak. So with regard to Negoyim, the Mishnah is telling us no less than 1 week and no more than 3 weeks. The Gemara explains, pochos mishavua, there isn't less than a week. That's nigei adam. That's with regard to a person. In other words, if a kohen comes, and in the realm of negoyim, a kohen is the one who must issue the ruling concerning negoyim. If a kohen comes and notices a nega, this discoloration, so the person is told to stay inside, stay indoors, stay in his house for 1 week. If after that week it's noticed that the nega disappeared, so he's declared tohor. So a person can achieve tahara after 1 week. If it's noticed that the nega expanded, so then he'll enter a period of time called Hechlet Muchlat, in which it's until it disappears, he is considered Tomei. However, he'll have to observe a minimum of 1 week. There isn't not less than 1 week. That is the case with regard to Nigei Adam. The lo yeser al shlosha shavuos, there won't be a situation of more than 3 weeks. That case of reaching 3 weeks of hesker, that's nigei bottom. That's with regard to houses. If we look in the Rashi, nigei bottom, Rashi elaborates, shlosh shavuos, you can reach a situation of 3 weeks of hesker, but not more than 3 weeks. With regard to houses, Kedisani Betzoros Kehanim, Veshava Kohen Uboha Kohen, the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, known as Toras Kehanim, cites psukim found in the case of Nigei Botim in Parshas Metzora, that says Veshava Kohen, it says Uboha Kohen, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. The rules that apply to one apply to the other. This is a reference to the Kohen's visitations to the house. Ma Bia Choyletz V'Koytze V'Toch V'Nosein Lo Shavua. Just like the initial appearance of the Kohen and his noticing a nega requires the removal of the afflicted stones and their replacement, and following that, there is a week of waiting. Af Shiva, so too, when the Kohen comes back, an additional week of waiting is needed with the stone removal and replacement as we just mentioned. Uminayin Shim Omar Enega Be'enov Boze Uboze B'Shuarisho Mishnia Minayin Shecholis V'Gitz V'Toch V'Noisin L'Shavua V'Ainish V'Shlishi. From where do we know that if after the first week and after the second week of this stone removal and replacement there is a third week of waiting? Tamalomer Vo HaKohen V'im Bo Yavo HaKohen Ma Motzinu, etc. Based on scriptural readings, we achieve a third week. So the process of waiting when it comes to houses can take up to, but not more than, 3 weeks before a conclusion is reached. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rav Papa, he cites a pasuk, Tzidkoscha Kare El, Elu Nige Adam. Tzidkoscha, the righteousness is of the Almighty is very great. Since that's a reference to Nige Adam, meaning that after, it is possible that after 1 week we reach a conclusion whether to metahir him or to condemn him, so to speak, as a mukhlat. So it's only in the case of people, it could be with a specific type of people oriented nega, and I believe you'll notice that it's in the Meforshim, there is reference to the Shechin and Mikveh type Negoyim, that after 1 week a conclusion is reached. Shechin and Mikveh are types of heat related or injury related Negoyim that is featured in the Torah. But after 1 week we can come to a conclusion. That's with regard to people. So that's a form of, we'll call it, almighty righteousness, that with a short period of waiting we already come to a conclusion. Mishpatecha Tehoim Rabbah, which is a continuation of that pasuk, Elu Nige Batim. Tehoim meaning depths, that depths meaning a long time, a long time of waiting before a conclusion is reached. That is the case with regard to Nige Batim. Pashtei Dekra B'Maiksiv. The simple understanding of these psukim of Tzidkoso Kare El Mishpatecho Toim Rabo, what is their simple meaning? Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side of our Gemara. Under this Nosei heading, we have written Shnei Deos Behanhogas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Klal Yisrael, two approaches of the way the Almighty deals with the nation of Israel, Al Pi Moshol in Moznayim. The Gemara will feature a balance scale in its analogy in order to understand the drushes. One approach, Kovesh Avonos. Kovesh means machbi oisam, he hides the sins of Israel, tachas kisei hakavod, under the heavenly throne, kidei shiachriu hazichuyos. If you have a balance scale and you take off the side of the scale, the sins, so naturally the side of the balance scale that contains the merits will be weightier, it'll weigh down, and a verdict will be reached that these people are innocent, are virtuous. There's another approach, nosei, which means magbia kaf ha'avonos, kedei shiachriu hazechuyos, where the side containing the sins is actually lifted up. And by lifting up the side of the balance scale that contains the sins, you're in effect causing the other side of the balance scale to weigh down, showing them to be virtuous. So, with regard to the Almighty's approach to the people of Israel and his attempt to find their virtuosity, one approach says he kovei shavonos, he removes sins from the sin side of the balance scales and hides them. The other approach is that he raises he lifts up the side containing the sins, causing the side of virtue to weigh down. Now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara had asked, what is the simple meaning of these psukim? Pashtei dekro b'maiksiv, the Gemara continues on the third wide line. So, approach one, Omar Rav Yehuda, il mole tzikosho kare eil, if not for your righteousness to be lofty like mighty mountains, mi yuchal lamoid lifnei mishpotecho toim rabo, who would be able to stand in the face of your deep justice? This will be explained a little later in the Gemara, through the Gemara and the Rashi. Rabba Omar, tzidkoso karei el, your righteousness is like mighty mountains. Mipnei, because shemishpotecho tohoim rabba, because of your mishpot being of great depths. B'mai komifligi, what is the underlying point of difference between Rav Yehuda and Rabba? As you can see, there is a different approach with regard to the psukim. In the first case, the Mishpatecha Tom Rabba seem to be a threat, so to speak. And in the second case, with Rabba, the Mishpatecha Tom Rabba seems to be a means of solution. So, what is the underlying point of difference? So, the Gemara says, "Bid Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi China." They argue, Rav Yehuda and Rabba, parallel a machlokus between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yosi Bechanina. The Itmar, Rabbi Lozer Omer Kovesh. Kovesh, as we explained earlier, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu hides the sins of Israel underneath the heavenly throne. Rabbi Yosi Bechanina Omar Nosei, that he raises up the side of the balance scale containing the sins, causing the side of virtue to weigh down. And now finally, the Gemara parallels the Machlokas, and then we can finally understand the drushes that they made. Rabba, who spoke about the righteousness of the Almighty, happens as a result of Mishpotecha Toim Rabba. So Rabba Kerebi Elozer, Rabba will parallel Rebbe Elozer. Rebbe Elozer spoke about taking the sins and hiding them underneath. This idea of hiding them underneath is reminiscent of depths, so that the depths underneath the holy throne is a source of salvation. So the Rabba's approach parallels Rabbi Lozer's approach. Rabba said that your righteousness is a result of Mishpotecho Tom Rabba, taking the Mishpotecho, the sins, and putting them in the depths, meaning under the Kisei HaKavod, which was Rabbi Lozer's approach as well, Kovesh. The Rav Yehuda Kerebi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. If we look in Rashi, we'll first look at Rashi, Rabba Kerebi Lozer, the Hochi Komar, and thusly, Rabba was saying, Tzidkoscha kareel, she'ato matzdikenu, you find our virtue, b'ma she'ato koivesh umastir mishpotecho dainu avonos, by that through which you hide, you bury and hide our mishpotecha, dahinu avonus, our sins, b'tahoim rabo, in the depths, that means underneath the holy throne. V'Rav Yehuda k'Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Rav Yehuda, who said tzidkos kareel, if not for your act of righteousness, who would be able to stand up in front of the sins? So that approach of Rav Yehuda is like Rabbi Yosef Chamino, who spoke about the raising of the side of sins. V'hochi komar, il mole tzidkos kareel, if not for your righteousness and benevolence, she'ata oise lonu tzedaka, that you do for us an act of charity, she'ata magbia avonos, that you raise up the side of the scale containing the sins, mi yuchal la'amid mipnei mishpotecha, who would be able to stand up against the threat of our sins, she'yu machrin atahom rabo, that would have weighed down till the very depths. So that is Rav Yehuda's drasha, and as we say, if not for your act of kindness, of lifting up the side of the sins, the side of the sins would have weighed down till the very depths. So that approach of Rav Yehuda is the same as Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. The next Mishnah, following in the spirit of these last few Mishnayos of no less and no more, and here the Mishnah deals with the calendar. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Kloli on the side, a general topic, which we indicate will go to Ad Yud Omer Aleph. It continues to Daf Yud Omer Aleph. Mispar HaChodoshim Hamleim V'Chasirim B'Shana. The standard Jewish calendar is made of a year containing 12 months. There's a leap year that in which we add a month. On the Jewish calendar, a leap year means the addition of a full month, an Adar, an additional month Adar. Hence you have from time to time an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis. The Jewish month, the month according to the Jewish calendar, contains either 29 or 30 days. The months themselves are calibrated according to the lunar cycle. That's regarding the months themselves. And a lunar cycle is actually 29 and a half days plus change. You'll find a great amount of detail in the Rashi, but we just told you in very general terms that a lunar cycle, that means from the appearance of a new phase of the moon till the next new phase appearance, there's a lapse of 29 and a half days plus a little extra. So if you want to have the beginning of a new month appearing that means the beginning of a new month on the calendar aligned with the appearance of the new phase of the moon, you would have to have basically an average. That's one month will be 29 days, which is a half day less than the lunar cycle, and the subsequent month will be 30 days, which is a half day more than the lunar cycle. So basically, if you say take 29 and a half and double it, that gets you to 59. 29 and 29 is 58, plus two halves, half days, is another full day. That's 59 days. Two calendar months, one 29 and one 30, is also 59. So, in theory, you could have an alternating calendar of 29, 30, 29, 30, after a year of that, you will find that the new phase of the moon is coming out basically along with the declaration of a new month. As we will see later in the Gemara, we wouldn't want a situation where a new phase appears either of too many days before a new month is declared or too many days after a new month is declared. That will cause people to look upon the court that's in charge of calendar rulings as being a joke. The new month appears together with the new moon, so that if there's any discrepancy that arises, it won't be favorable to what we're trying to achieve. The Mishnah tells us, "Ein pochasin me'arba'o chodashim ha'me'ubarim b'shana." Chodesh Me'ubar is a 30-day month. This line of the Mishnah translates as saying we don't have less than 4 30-day months in a year. V'lo nira yeser al shmoina. And it doesn't appear that we should have more than 8 full months or 30-day months. Shtei Alechem is classified as a meal offering. It's a reference to two loaves that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash on the holiday of Shavuos. Well, when are they baked? Their baking is not done on Yom Tov itself. The afia of the Shtei Alechem is not Doiche Yom Tov, and certainly not Doiche Shabbos. These loaves are brought on Shavuos and distributed to the Kohanim who eat them on the Shavuos holiday. So from the time that they are baked till the time they are eaten, the Mishnah says, Ein ne'echolin pochos mishnayim, there won't be less than 2 days from their baking till their eating. Very simply, if Shavuos comes out in the middle of the week, so they're baked on Erev Shavuos, that's one, and eaten on Shavuos the next day, which is two. Velo yeser al shlosha, nor will you have a situation of between the time of their baking and eating more than 3 days. For example, if Shavuos were to come out on a Sunday, so when are the loaves going to be baked? They'll be baked on Friday, because they can't be baked on Shabbos. So you count Friday as day one. Shabbos is not the day for the eating of the Shtei Alechem, so that's day two. And finally Sunday, which is Shavuos, will be day three. Lechem aponim, ein ne'echal pochos mites velo yeser al achadosar. Lechem aponim is a reference to the 12 breads that sat in the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, on the Shulchan that was in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. There were 12 loaves, 2 stacks of 6. They were baked before Shabbos, and they would be placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos and not eaten till the following week, the following Shabbos. So if you count from the day that they are baked till the day they are actually eaten, you'll have no less than 9 days, of course, inclusively. And how do you account for that? Well, if they're baked on, they can't be baked on Shabbos. The baking is not Doiche Shabbos. So these loaves are baked on Friday. Friday would be the closest point in time to Shabbos during which you can bake them. So they're baked on Friday. The next day, which is Shabbos, they're set up on the table to be eaten a week later. So if you count from Friday till the following Shabbos, you'll find you have 9 days. So there isn't less than 9 days. Velo yeser al achad osar, and you won't have more than 11 days from the point that they are baked till the time they are eaten. Now, how do you get to 11 days? Well, if you have Rosh Hashanah, which comes out on a Thursday. So Thursday and Friday are Rosh Hashanah, they will have to be baked when? Not on Thursday, that's Rosh Hashanah, but rather on Wednesday. So if you count from Wednesday till the following Shabbos, at which point they're eaten, you'll find you have 11 days. So that's the longest period between baking and eating. Ein katan nimol pochos mishmoina v'lo yeser al shneim asar. Nimol is a reference to bris milah, an infant, a male infant that's born from the point of his birth till the point that he experiences the bris milah. You'll have no less than 8 days. That's standard procedure. V'lo yeser al shneim asar, and you won't have a situation that'll have to wait because of calendar considerations. We're not talking about health considerations, but because of calendar considerations, you won't have a situation that'll have to wait more than 12 days. This idea of having to wait 12 days would come about in a situation that a child was born very close, called Bein Hashmoshos, of Rosh Hashanah, that falls out on a Thursday. So if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, and we have a suffix as to whether he was born on the Thursday or on the Wednesday, because he was born at a time called Bein Hashmoshes, and we know that Mila Shelo Bezmano cannot be done on Shabbos, cannot be done on Yom Tov, can't be done on Shabbos. What you'll have to do is you'll have to account for 8 days from the point of birth, so that if you have a situation like this where you have a Shabbos connected with 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we must point out, for the scenario of the Mishnah, namely 12 days, would be a case where the child was born on an Erev, Bein Hashmoshes, leading into Shabbos. Following that Shabbos would be following the next week of Shabbos would be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So let's go over that case. A child is born toward the end of the month of Elul, on a Friday, which might be Shabbos, because it's Bein Hashmoshes. So if the child had been born on Shabbos itself, so we would mal him, we would give him a bris milah the next Shabbos. That would be called milah bezmana, from Shabbos to Shabbos, when you count inclusively, that's 8 days. However, if following that second Shabbos you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so you can't do the milah on Sunday, because that would be, it's a case of milah shelo bezmana. You can't do the milah because the kid was born, the child was born on a Friday, Sofek Shabbos. So from that Friday till the next Shabbos, that is 9 days. You can't mal him on Rosh Hashanah, which would be on Sunday, the 10th day. Nor can you mal him on the second day, the Monday, which is the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the 11th day. The first opportunity you would have to mal this child would be on the Tuesday that follows. So from Friday, the Suffolk Friday, that the day that the child was born, till the following Tuesday, which is the first chance you'll have to give him a bris milah, you have 12 days. And that's what the Mishnah says here, v'lo yeser al shnei mosar, the need to wait from the time of birth till the time of milah will not exceed 12 days, assuming, of course, as we said before, the child is otherwise healthy. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice we have diamonds. These are explained in the under the Nosei Mivneh heading that you find in the outside margin. The diamonds represent Hesberim Shel Rav Huna Ve'ula Lehadikatani Lo Nira Yeser Al Shmona. The Mishnah said Lo Nira Yeser Al Shmona, that it doesn't appear that there will be more than 8 30-day months, more than 8 mi'ubarim. What does this phrase really mean? Mai lo nira yeser al shmoina. Omer Rav Huna, lo nira lechachomim la'aber yeser al shmoina. It doesn't appear to the chachomim to allow for more than 8 elongated months. Elongated months is a reference to 30-day months. Well, this leads us to some questions. Maishno tisha dolo, why not have 9? Why are you sure that you don't have 9 elongated months? Before we go any further, we have to simply review a point that we mentioned in our introduction, and that is that the lunar cycle must be in tandem with the appearance of, or the declaration of, a new month, of a Rosh Chodesh. We also mentioned that the lunar cycle was 29 and a half days. In order to achieve an average, we have we'll call it the perfect calendar, would be an alternating 29-30 type setup. If you add that up, 6 months of 29 and 6 months of 30, you'll come out to 354 days. If you were to have not 6 and 6, but rather 3 and 9, meaning 3 29-day months and 9 30-day months, you're going to be off balance, so to speak, of 3 days. And you would have then a year that's lasting 3 days longer than the balance. So the Gemara says, Maishno tisha delo, why is it that you wouldn't want to have 9 30-day months? In Cain, if you would have 9 30-day months, you'd have a year that is a year that's longer by 3 days than the balance situation. And what is the result of that? What would result? Kodim osi siharot losayomi. The new moon cycle, or the new moon phase, would appear 3 days before our declaration of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, of course, the beginning of a month. It's the Aleph Tishrei. So if you would have a year that isn't made of 6 and 6, and as we said before, 6 chosr, 6 mole, strikes a balance, allowing for when the new year starts, the new moon phase would come out on time. However, if you ruin the balance and have 3 chosr and 9 mole, that's instead of 6 mole, 9 mole, means 9 30-day months, you would have your declaration of Rosh Hashanah coming 3 days after the new phase already appeared. And imagine the popular reaction to that. They'd see a new phase of a moon already in the sky, and yet the new year hasn't been declared yet. People would start to ridicule rabbinic rulings. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand the problem that happens if you were to create an imbalance of 3 days, but you're telling me that an imbalance of 2 days is okay. Why is that okay? The Gemara continues here at the top of Daf Tes. Hashto nami, now that you're allowing for 8 full months, or 8 malayim, 8 30-day months, so that's also creating an imbalance of 2 days. In other words, you're delaying the new year by the coming of the new year by 2 days. And kokodim osi siara, kokodim osi, the new moon phase appears early by treyomi, by 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. Because of our allowing for 8 instead of 6, 8 means 2 additional mole months, that's 2 additional days of the year. So you won't have the declaration of a new year until 2 days have gone by where the new lunar phase has appeared. So isn't that going to create a raucous and an uproar on the part of the public? Them saying, hey, look, the new phase is hanging there in the sky, and it still hasn't been declared to be a new year yet. So the Gemara says that's not a problem. Kid Omar Rav Misharshia. Based on Rav Misharshia's statement elsewhere, Kegon Shehoisa Shana Mu'uberes, he speaks about a leap year. Hochanami, so too, in order to understand our case of allowing for two extra mole months, so to hear Kegon Shehoisa Shana Shelifoneho Mu'uberes, where the previous year had been a Shana Mu'uberes, means an extra month was added to that year. The Ibor Shana equals Chodesh, and the leap year is made of a Chodesh, a month, and that month that's added is 29 days, and with that extra day, so to speak, because 28 days is a perfect division of 7, so you have a 29-day month, and that will keep things calibrated. The Gemara asks, that doesn't help. Dal yarcha malya bahadi yarcha chasera. You have in the previous year granted a chaser month, a 29-day month, but one added month, one mole month of our calculation of having 8 months, so one will cancel out one. In other words, the extra one extra 30-day month will balance out for the 29-day missing month of the 29-day month of the previous year. That's dal yarcha malya bahadi yarcha chaser va'akati chad yoma. But still, there is a discrepancy of 1 day, because okay, instead of having eight full months, which is two extra moles, still I'm left with one extra mole. The Gemara says that doesn't bother us so much. Lava da tayu dinshi. Having the new phase out for 1 day before a new year is declared, people don't pay attention to that. That's not going to cause any public joking or uproar concerning rabbinic rulings. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.